Today's shir is Masechta Sota, Daf Beis. We begin Daf Beis of an Aleph at the beginning of the new perek. As we begin, Beizer Hashem Yisbarach, Masechta Sota. The Masechta Sota discusses the halacha of a Sota. The halacha of a Sota is that if there's a woman whose husband is concerned that she's having an improper relationship, what he has to do is he has to first do kinui and warn his wife that she may not remain secluded with this man that he's accusing her of. And after he does kinui, if there is stira, if she remains alone, secluded with that man for the amount of time of kedei tumah, which we will discuss daf dalad in our perek, the halacha is at that point the woman becomes a saita. The word saita means that she has veered off from the proper way a Jewish woman is supposed to behave. And as we're going to learn, such a woman is obligated to bring a carbon mincha, the mincha saita. And besides that, she has to bring the mincha saita, the halacha is that she may not live with her husband until all of the procedures of a saita are performed on her, and the procedure of the saita will demonstrate and determine what is her status. The word saita comes from the word to veer off. This woman has veered off from the proper way a Jewish woman is supposed to behave. Another explanation for the etymology of the word saita is from the word shtus, foolishness. As we're going to learn in our Gemara, a person doesn't do aveira, elm ke nichnas ba ruach shtus. So the ruach shtus here, the ruach shtus that we're discussing is what caused her to become a saita. Another explanation for the word saita is because, particularly, why saita said the Lashon Yachid. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, because it's unusual that a Jewish woman should act in such a manner. And therefore, a Jewish woman who does act in such a woman is called a Saita, a sin woman who acted improperly. So begins the Mishnah Mekana Lishtoi, when somebody warns his wife that she should not be alone with a certain man. That warning has to be in front of two Edom. Because if it wasn't made in front of two Edom, the halacha does not consider her a saita. There's a procedure that has to be followed. And in order for the kinui to be considered a kinui, or in order for the stira, which comes after the kinui, to be considered a proper stira, it has to be have come first with a kinui that was done in front of two Edom. Umashka, but if after she had kinui, she was alone with this man, and there's only one aid, apiyed echad, there's only one aid to say that, oy habal atzma, or the husband himself is the one that says that I saw her secluded with this man that I warned her not to be with, then the halacha is that will be considered a good stira. And the halacha, as we're going to learn later, is it doesn't have to be the husband or an eid echad, an eved or a shivcha, who are normally not considered kosher eidim, for this considered a kosher eidim. Why does the Mishnah teach us both the halacha, explained the Rishonim, of an eid echad is believed or he himself is believed? Because if we would have only said that he's believed, there's a concept that we often have in Shas of Shavya Anasha Chaticha Desura. So the husband, by saying that she was secluded alone, has a right to say that she's us to me because Shavya Anasha Chaticha Desura. But maybe when we need Edom, we need to have two proper Edom. Or on the other hand, maybe one aid is going to be kosher to say this testimony, because the one aid always has the potential that another aid will join But when it's one, when it's the husband himself, a husband himself maybe can't be considered a kosher aid. That's why the Mishnah had to teach us the case, both that he or an aid echad that are believed. And the halacha is that this is critical to this mesechta, that until she goes, once there was kinei v'stira, and the until she actually goes through the procedure, she's also labal. She's not allowed to be with her husband. She's not allowed to be with the husband. And the reason is because we have now a suffolk tuma. We have a suffolk if she did something that is improper. And therefore, since we have a suffolk that she's improper, one of the fundamental halachas we're going to learn in this halacha is suffolk tuma b'shus rabim. B'shus rabim is tahor. B'shus yochid is tamei. This took place, B'shus HaYochid, she was secluded with a man, and therefore the halacha is, she's also labal, she may not have relations with her husband until she has, until she goes through the procedure. Rav Shua disagrees and says, Mekanala Pnei Shnayim, you have to have two Eidim for the Kinui, or Mashka Pishnayim, you have to also have two Eidim for the Stira. And without having both of them, the halacha is that's not considered a proper kinui stira. However, the Rishonim point out, as we're going to learn, everything we're saying that Rabbi Shua requires two Edom is only because there was no Edom that actually saw her having this improper relation. But if they saw her having bia with a man that she wasn't allowed to have, then we wouldn't have this discussion at all. The halacha would be that she becomes also to her husband immediately. Ketzik Mekanalo, so explains the Mishnah exactly how does kina work. Oymala b'fnei shnayim, he says to her in front of two edim, al tadabri mishploini, you may not be secluded with this man, v'dibri ma, and she did, adani teres l'beisai, she could be, she's still allowed to be with her husband. And if she's a wife of a kohen, mutaris lacha b'truma, she would still be allowed to eat truma. However, nichnasa ima lebeis haseser, if she was secluded with him, v'shasi ima k'day tuma, and she remains with the man the amount of time to have relations, as the Gemara will identify how much time that is, at that point, asur lacha b'truma, if she's an ashes kohen, asur lebeis, she cannot have relations with her husband. Asur lecha b'truma, she may not have truma. V'meis, and if her husband dies without children, as we learned extensively earlier in Masechta Yevamos, that if somebody dies without children, his wife is a candidate for yibum. Since this marriage was not on simple ground because she had kinei v'stira, the halacha is that this wife only has chalitza. There's a machlokes rishonim. When a husband does kinui have to say, does the husband have to mention the man that he's concerned that that she's having an improper relationship with? And therefore she has to mention his name explicitly. You can't just say a blanket kinui saying, I don't want you to be secluded with any man. Or is it going to be Is a proper kinui fulfilled even if she doesn't mention any specific man? She just, the husband says, I don't want you alone with specific men, with men, and without mentioning any names, that it's a valid kinui. The Meiri and the Rashba of both of the opinion, the kinui estira, you have to mention a specific name. Mechas Chinuch, we're going to see rayas to the Mechas Chinuch opinion of Mitzvah Shem, is of the opinion that kinui v'stira, that kinui could be done mentioning many names. There's also an interesting machlokes achrayim. The Mishnah says, ketzim mekanalo, how is kinui performed? And we just learned, the husband warns the wife, you may not be secluded with this man. What's the halacha? Can the husband ask a shliach to do the kinui in his behalf? The Noida Behuda says, that even though the halacha is somebody can point the shliach to do something on his behalf. However, says the Noida Behuda, kinui has to be done specifically by the husband. The Kli Chamda disagrees, and the Kli Chamda says that kinui has to be done. The kinnik, just like in other areas of halacha, it could be done through a shliach. The halacha here is kinnik could be done through a shliach here as well. The Yerushalmi explains that when the Mishnah said that, what is the definition of stira? The nichnasah malabesa say, sir, it's when we know that they both went in, this woman and this man went into this secluded place with the intention to be there alone. But let's say they did not go in with that intention, but they ended up finding themselves in that secluded area. So the Yerushalmi seems to say that that wouldn't be stira. There's another interesting merame sada. As we're going to be learning the Masechta, certainly many of the halachas that we speak about in this Masechta about kinui and stira, the halacha of yichud travel together. Now, one of the halachas of yichud is, of course, that yichud means that a man and a woman may not be alone in a place. But one of the heterim for yichud is bala be'ir. The merame sada says that even though in Hilchas Yichud, the halacha is the bala be'ir makes that the woman is allowed to be alone with that, with a man, that wouldn't apply for a man that there was kinui with. If there was kinui said, then the halacha is, if kinui was done, then even if bala be'ir, she's not allowed to be alone with the man. Moreover, as we just said, if she had kinui in stira, the halacha is that she's not allowed to have relations with her husband until her status is determined. The Rishonim say that she also will not be allowed to be alone with the Baal. She will not be allowed to be alone with this man until her status is determined. The halacha is that she remains, that until the situation is clarified, she's also the Baal or the Baal. Interesting, machloikis achroinim. The Mishnah said that while if the woman had kinui v'stira, until, as we just said, her status is determined, she's not allowed to eat truma. What's going to be the halacha if she says, I know I'm innocent? And therefore, she, by saying, I know I'm innocent, is she allowed to eat truma? The machloikis here is, the machloikis achroinim, is how to understand this situation. Do we understand the situation as a situation, as a din, that the Torah says that a woman who is a soita, a woman who is now in this category, is not allowed to eat truma, even if she's saying that I know that I'm innocent? Or is the halacha that she's only considered a soita that's not allowed to eat truma because we don't know what is her situation? But if she's saying, I know I'm innocent, so by she declaring that she's innocent, the halacha is that she knows that she's an Eishes Kohen that didn't do anything wrong, and therefore she's entitled to continue eating truma. Machlokes achronim, what would be the case under those circumstances? Ask the Gemara, Michti. Let's analyze where we are. Tanam Nazar Salak. We've just finished learning Masechta Nazar. My Tana, the Kantana Saita. Why is Saita mentioned afterwards? So the Rishonim make a very important point in explaining this Gemara's question. The Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, teaches us, ain't Seder to Mishnah. There's no Seder to the Mishnah. So the explanation is not that there's no explanation, there's no rhyme or reason to which Masechta comes first and which Masechta comes second. What it means is that when Rebbe learned Masechtas with his Talmidim, he did not necessarily follow the Seder of Shas. And therefore, since in Shas there's a rule of Machloikis v'achkach Stam, Stam v'achkach Machloikis, that's only applicable when we're learning one Masechta. But when learning from one Masechta to another Masechta, we don't say the fact that one Masechta appears in Shas before another Masechta is a proof that that Masechta was learned by Rebbe and his Talmidim first. As much as that is indeed the case, but when Rebbe made an order to the Mishnayis that he taught us, that there is a Seder to the Mishnayis. And that's what the Gemara means to teach us. The Gemara wants to know, why does Masechta Saita follow Masechta Nazar? Says the Gemara to the Rebbe, The answer is, as we learned in the beginning of Masechta Nazir, the Tanya Rebbe Oyim Alam Nisvach Pashas Nazir L'Pashas Saita. Why do we find in the Torah that the Pash of the Nazir and the Pash of Saita are next to each other? Lai Malach to teach us, Shekala Raya Saita B'Kakula, if somebody sees a Saita, as she's embarrassed, because as we're going to learn, when the Saita is brought to the Beis HaMikdash to go through the Saita procedure, she's embarrassed as she's treated. And if Chas V'Shalom, she's not innocent, she's embarrassed to what happens with her. That's why Shekala Raya Saita B'Kakulai. The halacha is Yaza Atzvei Min Hayayin. The halacha is she should stay away Min Hayayin. So Meral asks a question. We don't find that the Torah, that that we have a question typically, why is one parasha in the Torah after or before another parasha? Why over here does the Torah put them together? So the Meral explains, because if we think about a Saita and we think about a Nazir, they're just the opposite type of people. A Saita is a woman who veered off the right way of behaving. A Nazir is just the opposite. A Nazir is a person who, as we just finished learning Masechta Nazir, wants to reach a higher level of Kedusha. So it doesn't make any sense that these two people who represent just the opposite type of behavior, the Torah should put them together. There must be a reason. And the Gemara says, Yaza Atzmai Menayayin. And as Rashi explains, what's the connection here? Because a person who drinks wine ends up acting in an improper fashion and becomes a very slippery slope. The Ramban, along the same point, says that people who are concerned about their appearance are people who start acting inappropriately. The Nazir is a person who lets his hair grow long. He's not focused on his appearance. The opposite of a person who acts in an improper way. The Kedis Yitzchak says another pshat. He says that when somebody sees a Saita, it's going to cause him to start thinking that I have to do tshuva. And since it's going to cause him to start thinking that I have to do tshuva, what is one of the ways of doing tshuva is by Yazir Atzmai Menayayin. But then I saw another pshat from the Sefer Priya Aretz. He says, the Chazal teach us in Masechta Avos, Kol Shechmasa Merubah Memasai, Ein Chechmasai Miskayemes. It's not enough just to learn. It's you have to behave. It's the way you act. And Chazal teaches, Kol Shechmasa Merubah Memasav, somebody whose Chachma is more than his Maisav, Doime is comparable, Le'ilon, to a tree, Shanof of Merubav, that has a lot of branches, V'shrasha Mu'utam, but has weak roots. And what happens is that tree is easy to be uprooted. On the other hand, somebody who's ma'isav a merubah mechachmasai, he's a person that's like a tree that doesn't necessarily have that many branches, but it has strong roots, then nothing could turn over that tree. Says the Gemara, what this means to say is that somebody who's ra'is saita b'kulkulai, somebody who sees the sight of a kukulai is a person that should realize that he saw something and has to cause him to do a maisa, because the maisa are more important than the chachma, and this is to spur him to do more. Reb Tzadik says a whole different approach. His approach is that there's no coincidence in the world, says Reb Tzadik. And Reb Tzadik says, if somebody sees something, it isn't coincidental that he saw it. It must be a reason that he saw it. And what's the reason that he saw it? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending him a lesson. Says Reb Tzadik, what we're learning from here is that if somebody sees a Saita B'Kalkulai, why did I see a Saita B'Kalkulai and no one else sees a Saita B'Kalkulai? It must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending me a message. And the message is that I have to do, that I have to start thinking and behaving better. He quotes the famous story of the Rebbe Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha said he learned a very important lesson from a Nachri. says he was once traveling on the road and there was a Nachri whose wagon broke down. And the Nachri asked him, could you please help me fix my wagon? So he said, I can't help you. I don't know. I'm not able to help you. So the Nachri told him, you could do it. You just don't want to do it. The lesson being that we could do whatever we want to set our mind to do, but we have to want to do it. And this part of Reb Tzadik is very important to answer another question. As we learned Masecht HaNazir, we learned the opinion of Reb Elazar Kfar. Reb Elazar Kfar's opinion is mentioned often in Shas, often in Masecht HaNazir. The pasuk says, "V'chip alav b'shechot al nefesh," that the Nazir has to bring a carbon chatos as a kapara. And Reb Elazar Kfar asks, "V'chi be'ezen nav nefesh?" What did this person do wrong that he's a nazir that he has to bring a karma chattas? Rabbi Elazar says, "Shitzir atzma menayayim." So Rabbi Elazar Kfar is teaching us is that it's not appropriate to be a nazir. And here in our Gemara, we're learning that it is appropriate to be a nazir. How do we reconcile this? So the answer really is, according to Reb Tzadik's explanation, that it's very possible that it is indeed inappropriate for somebody to be a Nazir. But sometimes there's a message sent to you, you ought to be a Nazir. And that's the case of Harayis Soita B'Kakula. Somebody sees a Soita, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is sending him a message, I want you to be a Nazir. Others explain that it's actually a Machloikis, if it's appropriate to be a Nazir or inappropriate. And our Gemara is going, according to the opinion, that we learned, according to the opinions that we learned in Masechta Nazir, that it is okay to be a Nazir. Another explanation that I saw, why should Harayis Soita B'Kakula Yaza Atzma Menayayin? So people, even people who do the wrong thing, aren't people who do something immediately wrong. It goes step by step. So what the Gemara is teaching us is, learn the lesson of a Saita. The Saita didn't become a Saita overnight. She acted inappropriately until she became, unfortunately, a Saita. And so, too, you should take the other approach. You need to take steps. You need to take steps to be better. How do you take steps to be better? By Yazar Atzmei Menayayin, by becoming a Nazir. Taking steps and precious is the way that you will become a better person. So ask the Gemara, if that's the reason, why do we have Masecht HaNazir before Masecht HaSoita? It should have been the other way. For listening Soita, first we should have Masecht HaSoita. For Hada, listening Nazir. Because we're saying that when Haroi Soita B'Kakuloi, Yaza Atzvei Minayayin, says the Gemara, there's a reason in all the Masechtas that we've learned, in the order of the Masechtas that we've been learning here in Seder Noshim. I did Tanik Subas. First, we learn Masechta Subas, and in Masechta Subas, there's a Perek HaMadir, which is about Nedarim. That's why Tarim Nedarim. So that's why it was appropriate that Masechta Nedarim Shefal Masechta Subas. I did the Tani Nedarim, Tani Nazir, the Damla Nedarim, as we've learned so many times, that a Naziris is a form of Nedarim. And then, Viktani Saita, because as we just learned from Rebbe, Chazal wanted Masechta Saita to be next to Masechta Soita, to be next to Masechta Nedarim. And of course, the Farshim point out that the shot in the Gemara is that the Gemara first wanted to know why is Soita next to Nazir. And then after the Gemara, and why does Nazir and belong in Seder Nashim? And after the Gemara established why Nazir belongs in Seder Nashim, then it explains why it's next to Masechta Nedarim. We learned in the Mishnah, Hamakana. So the word Hamakana says the Gemara, the Eved in, that means it's not really appropriate that a husband should do Kinui, L'chatchila Loi. But L'chatchila, that's not what a husband ought to do. Kusav Tana Dedan, it's obvious that the opinion of our Tana is, also L'chatchila Loi. That's not the right thing to do. Because as we see in our Gemara, that kinui could bring to such terrible results. And I saw a beautiful pshat, what's pshat, why shouldn't you do kinui? If somebody's wife is acting inappropriately, Why should somebody not do kinui? So there's a famous machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, one is not allowed to divorce his wife. Elm came out to Irvis Dover. You're not allowed to divorce your wife unless you found it acting in an immoral fashion. According to Beis Hillel, I feel like Dichav Tavshila, even if she burnt the food, you could divorce your wife. That's why our Tana says, don't do kinui. You're concerned that your wife is acting inappropriately. According to Beis Hillel, you have a right to divorce her. So divorce her instead of going through this procedure of kinui and stiri. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, ki have a pasuk Reish Lakish b'saita. As Reish Lakish would begin learning Masechta Saita, Amar Hachi, he would say, Eim is Avgan loy la'odim isha, a person doesn't get a shidduch, el lefi masav, only according to the way he behaves. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, k'lo yinuch shevra rasha al gara tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have allowed that a tzaddik should end up with a rasha. So of course, this is a very important Maimer Chazal, as we're going to learn now. But the question is, what is the connection of this Maimer Chazal to Masechta Saita? So one pshat that I saw is that we just learned that in the Chumash, Parshas Saita is mentioned and then Parshas Nazir. But as we're learning now, in Shas, Masechta Nazir comes before Masechta Saita. And that was the question that Reish Lakish is coming to answer. And he says that if somebody's wife is a Saita, there's something wrong. And if a person would be acting appropriately, he would have never ended up with such a wife. Because, as the Gemara just taught us, as Reish Lakish just taught us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a shidduch according to who you are. Another pshat, that the pasuk says, Ish is kisishta ishtai. The question is, why does the pasuk focus on the man? The focus should be on the woman, if the woman acts inappropriate. So that's the question Reish Lakish was coming to answer. And he's answering that if a wife is acting inappropriate, it must be because he did something wrong. As we learn in Rashi and Chumash, that a man who doesn't give the matnas kahuna properly ends up that he has to come on to the kayin with his wife being a saita. Along the same line, Douglas Ephraim says, we're going to learn in this Masechta more than once that the saita water only works if the man, if the husband is innocent. But if one's husband is not innocent, then the saita water won't work on him, on her either. So that's what Reish Lakish is saying. We're going to learn the halacha that you have to be innocent as well. Why? Because a husband and a wife travel together. Now the question is, why was this said in a negative? Ein mezavgin loy l'adam. Why doesn't it say mezavgin loy b'adam? So I saw that the teretz is that even if somebody loses their shidduch, there's a concept of shem yikten with tefillah. The halacha is you're allowed to get engaged even during the 9 days because maybe somebody else is going to take your shidduch. Says him, Ein mezavgin loy l'adam. Even if you lose your first shidduch, your next shidduch is going to be anyway based on how you behave. Amar Rabbi Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. For kashin, creating a shidduch between a husband and a wife, the kashin l'zavgin is so difficult, k'kriyas yamsuf. Just like k'kriyas yamsuf was difficult. Shenemar, alakim moishiv yechidim b'aisoi, moitzi asirim b'kashoros. Kadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the people, a husband and wife together, is like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in Chodesh Nissan, which is also Azman Kosher, which is the best time of the year. It's the spring, but it didn't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do it. It's difficult, like Kriyas Yamsuf. I saw a beautiful pshat. Why are we saying that a Zivik is like Kriyas Yamsuf? I saw this pshat from Chaim Shmulevitz Etzal. Then I saw the Demajit Rebbe in a Sefer Imri Yesh also says this pshat. Klal Yisrael approaches the Yamsuf as the leaving Mitzrayim. They were all certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take them out of Mitzrayim to drown in the Yamsuf. But no, everybody had a different opinion. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu about to do to save us? This person said it like this person said like that. No one thought that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do is split the yam. The same thing is with a zivik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a zivik for every person. And everybody has all sorts of ideas and plans. This is going to be my wife. This is my husband. This is which yeshiva they came from. This is from which neighborhood they came from. And then it's like Ziga Yosef, that it comes where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him from. Another pshat is that we know that by Kriyas Yamsuf, the water did not split until Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the water. Same thing by Shidduch. People sometimes are reluctant to get engaged, to get married. They're scared. The Gemara is teaching us that it's like Kriyas Yamsuf. You need to take a jump like Nachshon ben Aminadav did. Another pshat that I saw is that by Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisroel were by status that they were giving up hope. There is no hope for us. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them, Kriyas Yamsuf, and saved them. The same thing here is that the Kriyas Yamsuf, that people should never give up hope. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a zivik for everybody. But then I saw that Moshe Soloveitchik from Switzerland asks, actually, that we think about it, Kriyas Yamsuf and a Shidduch are just the opposite of each other. A Kriyas Yamsuf is where the water split, and a Shidduch is when the husband and wife come together. So he says that there's an element of Kriyas Yamsuf in every Shidduch, and that is that the Kriyas Yamsuf means that the husband and the wives are separating from everybody else and looking at each other, separated from the rest of the world. Another pshat that I saw is that the Medrash says that actually when Klal Yisrael came to the Yam Suf, the Yam did not want to split, because they saw that the Klal Yisrael, as they left Mitzrayim, were busy taking the Rechush of Mitzrayim, and they shouldn't have been focusing on that as they were leaving Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that you have to. Says, so that's pshat here too. Kriyas Yamsuf is the Yam did not want to split because they saw that they were only interested in money. And a Shidduch is also supposed to be Kriyas Yamsuf, not to be focused on the money. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Kriyas Yamsuf, why did Klal Yisrael deserve that you should split the Yam for them? They didn't do any mitzvahs. They left Mitzrayim at Aram Ve'Area. But the reason that they were allowed to, the Yam split, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't judge them according to what they are today. Look at the future. And the same thing, sometimes we have a Chas and a Kala, and it's not so simple, this Chas and a Kala worthy to get married. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let them get married for the future generations that they will establish from this marriage. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that true that a person's shidduch is determined according to his behavior? But ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Abayim Yom Kodem Yetzias of Lad, 40 days before a child is born, Baskal V'Yetzias for Omris, a Baskal declares Bas Plani L'Plani, or Bais Plani L'Plani, V'Sada Plani L'Plani, so everything is predetermined. What are we saying that it's determined according to your behavior? Answers the Gemara, L'Kasha, Habazivik Rishon, Haba Zivik Sheni. And the Pasha Pshat is, the Zivik Rishon, the first marriage, is predestined. If a person loses his first wife, then Zivik Sheni is determined according to your behavior. The Kotzke Rebbe says, why does it say Bas Ploini Leploini? It says that by a girl, the main thing was supposed to look at her family. So we look at Bas Ploini. By a boy, we're supposed to look at the Pliny. Is the person a Talmud Chacham, or is this Chassan not a Talmud Chacham? Another pshat that I saw is that there was once a wedding, and at the wedding, the father of the Chassan, who was a great Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe, started davening Ma'ariv, and he davened for a very long time, postponing when the wedding would take place, even though there were so many guests there already waiting to participate in the wedding. And they went over to him and they said, you know, there are so many guests waiting for the wedding. Why did you make all these guests wait? So he says, the Gemara says, Lesk suba delayrama batigra. Every time there's a shidduch, there's going to be dispute. Why does it have to be? This is a story from the Kaiser Lublin. And the question is, why does it have to be a dispute by every wedding? Why can't it go peacefully? Because not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu determine who should marry whom, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also determines at what moment. So that's why sometimes there's a dispute at the wedding, which delays the wedding taking place. And the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines should be the wedding will happen at that time. So he said, I didn't want that there should be any disputes here. And I knew that it wasn't yet the time for the wedding. So since I knew that it wasn't yet the time for the wedding, what I did was, I davened Meir for a long time, and now I knew it's the time that was predestined to be the wedding, and now we could go to the wedding and avoid having any disputes. So I explained Habba Zivik Rishon, Habba Zivik Sheni, that it's a difference between a first marriage and a second marriage. Another pshat that they say is that a person depends on what age he gets married. The Miri says this pshat. If a person gets married when he's young, so we can't make a determination whom he should marry based on his behavior. He's too young. But once the person is older, then the shidduch is determined based on his behavior. The Arizal has a different pshat. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings every person to the world with his zivik. According to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified that this person who he's bringing to the world will behave. But sometimes the person that's brought to the world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu assuming is going to behave in a certain fashion, doesn't end up behaving in that fashion. So the original zivig that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned for him is inappropriate, and therefore zivig sheni is identified according to his behavior. Rabbi Lezheimer, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezheimer Kanalei Pishnayim, that the kinui is based on the testimony of two eidim. You need two eidim for the kinui, we learned. For the stira, one eid is sufficient. Rabbi Shua says that even the stira has to have two eidim. Says the Gemara, Atkan, the machloikis that we had is al bikinui, uba stira, av batuma. If you had eidim, if you have somebody that could come say testimony that this woman had an improperly intimate with this man, Eid Echad Mehemen, everybody will agree that one aid is sufficient. It says the Gemara Tana Nami, so too we're going to learn later in our Masechta, on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amen Aleph. Eid Ochad Oyma Niri Isay Shenit Meis. I saw that this woman had the inappropriate relation. The Loch is Loyal Shay, so we didn't give it to drink from the Mehem Arim. Now, ask the Gemara, Midaraisa Menolan de Mehemen Eid Echad. Normally we know you always have to have two aidim. And here, was saying that one eid is enough. Ask the Gemara, from where, how do we all of a sudden learn that one eid is enough? Answers the Gemara, we learned this from the Pasuk in the Parsha of Saita. For says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, that we learned in the Braisa, the Pasuk says regarding the Saita, the eid ein ba v'hila in the Spasa. What does eid ein ba mean? B'shneim hakosim v'daber. That there are no two eidim saying that she did the wrong thing, but there is one aid. And the Torah is teaching us that based on the testimony of that one aid, she can no longer live with her husband until we could determine her innocent. Ayena, but continues the Braisa, maybe Pshat in the Pasuk is, I feel be'echad, that there isn't one aid that's saying that she did the wrong thing. Tamaloymer answers the Gemara, the Pasuk, that says the Pasuk, lo yokem erecha be'ish. Now the Pasuk says eid. Eid is the singular. So the question is, why does the Pasuk also have to say the word echad? Mashish nem layakam eid b'ish, any day shu echad. When the Torah uses the word eid, we know it's talking about one individual. Ma tamalayim echad. Why does the Torah have to say eid echad? To teach us, zeh b'nei av, this comes to teach us for kol ha-Torah kula, the kol makam shenemer eid, wherever the Torah uses the word eid, harei kan shnayim, it means two eidim, until the Pasuk tells us explicitly echad, that it means echad. So he's saying that the Torah uses the word aid, it means aidus, it always means two people. And when the Torah means only one eid, it will say eid echad. Vam rachmana. So now the Gemara continues explaining the pasuk when it says ve'eid ein ba, to teach us, now that we explained that when the Torah uses the word eid, it means two eidim. What is the Torah teaching us? Trei lespa. There are no two eidim to say what they're saying. El echad. And there's only one eid. And the Torah is saying, v'hilay nispasa, if it wasn't a situation that she was violated, that she was forced into this relationship, the halacha will be that she is surah. Ask the Gemara, el tam diksiv, the reason that we're explaining the pasuk that this way, because the pasuk says, l'yamer eid echad b'ish. The Torah teaches us that one eid is not sufficient. So from here we say, halav hachi, but if not for that, have amina eid diksiv b'saita, eid b'saita, the one Torah used the word saita, eid, charu, v'afil chad leka. So what are we going to say? The eid ein ba, if we're going to, v'eid ein ba, we're going to explain in its simple definition, there was no eid at all. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to explain the pasuk simply, so then why would she be usher? But my mitzvah, how would she be usher then if there's nobody saying that she did the wrong thing? Itzrich says the Gemara, the lima goes as follows. Sakadat chamina, we would think eid emba, eid nemba. What the Torah is saying, that the Torah is saying to teach us eid nemba, but that the Torah is teaching us that one eid is insufficient, you need two eidim. But now, ask the Gemara, is that the way to explain this pasuk? Ein neman ba, that one eid is not neman. Elamai boy, what will you need? Adikatrei, you'll need to have two eidim. Says the Gemara, but if that will be the halacha, that the stira requires two eidim, lishta kramina, then we don't need to have a pasuk that tells them we need two eidim. Dasya, the Torah uses by erva, this site is a situation of erva, and the Torah says the word kimatza by erva dava, and the Torah, when it speaks about a din Torah, a testimony, the Torah says, lo yakim eid echad ish l'chal oven, apeshne eidim, oiv shtish eidim yakim davar, and neyada, we will know that you need two eidim, midat d'chal eidis b'Torah, like in every situation, you need two eidim. So if that's the case, why do we have to say aid? It must be that the reason is that the word aid means that there aren't two aidim. We have to say, and there was only one aid. Of course there has to be one aid only. Because if there were two aidim, the Torah wouldn't need to tell us this whole parsha. Because two aidim are always believed, as we learn by other cases. Itzruch. Satat min soita shani. We would think that a soita is different. Because soita reglayim ladover, the strong circumstantial evidence that she did the wrong thing. Because kinolah, he warned her not to be secluded with this individual. Venistra, and she still was, and therefore lahemen by eid echad. Then one aid, and we would say maybe one aid is not enough, and we would say that you need two aidim. But now that we have the pasuk of lo yakim eid echad that says that aid always means one. Two Eidim, when the Torah says here Eid Ein Ba, we now know that it means there are no two Eidim, but there's only one Eid, and that's enough to make that she should become a Saitim. Says the Gemara, Mimatzit Amrit, Ein Ba means the Ein Neman Ba, the one Eid won't be enough, Visharya, and she will be Mutav, it says that she wasn't raped, Mechlal, that's Surah, that if there's only one Eid, then she's Asur. If the Torah is coming to teach us that if there's only one aid, she won't be considered a saita, so why does the Torah have to bring in the issue, was she violated or was she not violated? Even if she wasn't violated, it was saying that one, the Torah means to say the one aid is insufficient, so that's what the Torah is teaching us. There's no reason to add the factor if she was or wasn't violated. Itzruch. Answer the Gemara, that's not a question. Sakadat chamina. We would say that you need to have two eidim. And trei nami, and the Torah is telling us that even when you have two eidim, it's only a problem if she wasn't violated. That's why we have to have this braisa of layakim eirechet b'ish, to tell us that when the Torah says eid, normally it means two eidim. And when the Torah says v'eid ein ba, Torah is teaching us is there weren't two, there was only one, and therefore even that one is enough to make her into a Saita. But we learned in the Mishnah, Rishua, I'm a Mekana Lepi Shnayim, Rishua says we need to have two Eidim for the Kinui, and we have to have two Eidim for the Stira. Ask the Gemara, my time of Rishua, why did Rishua hold that way? We just gave a nice explanation why one Eid should be sufficient. Answer, the Gemara, Amar Kra Ba, the Torah uses the word Ba, Ba Betuma, V'loi Bekinui, Ba V'loi Bestira, that she doesn't become usher until she has two Eidim. That's what the Torah means to say, Ba, that Ba, you have to have two Eidim, but by the Tumah, you don't have to have two Eidim. One Eid coming and saying that we saw she had an improper relation should become usher to husband. But the Kinui and Stira knew two Eidim. Rav Leza says, Ba, we indeed use the Ba to teach us V'loi B'Kinui, that by the Kinui, one Eid is insufficient. But by the Stira, one Eid will be sufficient. But ask the Gemara, V'ema Ba V'loi B'Stira. Why doesn't Rav Leza learn like Rav Yeshua that the word Ba is coming to teach us that by the Eidus who's saying that we saw her doing it, that's when one Eid is enough. But both by the Kinui and the Stira, you'll need to have two Eidim. Answers Rav Leza, Stira Iskash L'Tuma. We're learning now that everybody agrees, as far as testimony in the actual act of Tuma, one Eid is enough. Says Rav Leza that the Stira is compared in the Torah to the Tuma, the Ksiv and Nistra V'Nitma. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to learn, Kinu Nami Iskish L'Tuma. We find that the Torah connects Kinu and Tuma as well, because the Pasuk says, the Kinis Ishtavihi Nitma. Answers the Gemara, Mit Rachman Abba. The Ba comes to teach us that in certain places, two Eidim are required. Ask the Gemara, Mari Isa. So now we're saying that one Limud says that one Eid, in one activity, one Eid is enough, and one Limud is saying that you need two. Ask the Gemara, Mari Isa, why is saying that by Stira, or you, Rav Leza, saying one Eid is enough, and by Kino you say you need two Eidim? Stira is the finishing touch that makes him to a Saita. So the Gemara's question is, if you want to be Machmer and require two Eidim, ought you not to be Machmer by the Stira? Answers the Gemara, no. Adirabba, Kinu Adif. The Kinu we have to be stricter by. Shekain Ikagarmo. That starts the entire process. But ask the Gemara, Ilaf Stira, Kinu Meika. But says the Gemara, we could go in both directions. Because we won't have Stira, the Kinu is meaningless. Vilach Kinu is Stira Maka. If you don't have Kinu, the Stira is meaningless. Says the Gemara, Vilach Stira Adifa, the Schalta the Tomahi. And therefore, it makes more sense to connect Stira to Tuma. Masnisen, says the Gemara, that Masnisen like Aitana, the Tanya of Yosef, Yehuda, Ayman, Shem, Releza, Mekana, Lishta, Mekana, Pi, Erechad, Ay, Pi, Atzmai, Mashkelo, Pi, Shnayim. You have to have two Eidim for the Stira. Shiva, Chacham, Odir, Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda, and the Dove, Soif. If you're going to say that you could do Kinui without any Eidim, then they'll never be able to have a marriage. Ask the Gemara, my time of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say? Says the Gemara, Amakra Ba, and he learns Ba by that is Stira, and Eid Echad is Neman, by the Tuma, and Eid Echad is Neman, V'loi B'Stira. You have to have two Eidim. Veima, but ask the Gemara, why doesn't Rabbi Yosef say Ba V'loi B'Kinui, and say that by the Stira and Eid Echad is Neman, but by the Tuma and Eid Echad is Neman, but by the Kinu you need two Eidim? Answers the Gemara, Kinu Iskush L'Tuma. The Ksiv Kines Ishtav Yinitma. And therefore, if Tuma Eid Echad is enough, Kinu Eid Echad is also enough. But ask the Gemara, Stira Nami Iskush L'Tuma, the Ksiv Nistav Yinitma. Answers the Gemara, Ahu is coming to teach us for a different purpose, not Hilchas Eidim, but to teach us what we're going to learn, Kamashir Stira, how long is a woman supposed to be with Stira? The amount of time, Kedei Tumadasa, the amount of time that she has relations. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said that a husband could do Kinui by himself. So the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, asked Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, if you are correct, L'divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, ein l'davar seif. What does that mean? My new. The Zimda the Loikani. Because we could have a situation where Kinui wasn't done. And since there's no need for Eidim by the Kinui, he'll say he did Kinui when there was no Kinui. Ask the Gemara, Halamashtim is saying it. But let's understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, yes, for the Kinui you need 2 Eidim. For the Stira, you don't. So why aren't we to be concerned? Yes, lo davar soif. Why aren't we to be concerned? The Zimda lo yestatar. He didn't do Stira. And if he's believed by himself, he'll say that it happened, and why, and we'll have the same issue. Answers the Gemara: Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afla de Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda en Davar Soif. That indeed, this question is not only a question of Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, who says that for Kinui, saying it by yourself is enough. The same question indeed could be asked for Rabbi Elazar. If Stira could be done by the husband himself, we have this problem. Ask the Gemara: Afla de Rabbi Yosef, let me buy the Mishnah Seinu. Can we say that this is a question even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and also, and certainly on our Mishnah? That's not logical. Adrabba, the Mishnah Seinu, in the case of Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, there were 2 Eidim for the Kinui. So there are something going on here. That's why when we're lenient and saying 1 Eid for the steer is enough, it's not so preposterous. But according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, where there were no Eidim for the Kinui, that's when we really have a concern that the husband may do something wrong. It says the Gemara, Yitma Hachiyatim. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ladivir Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Certainly according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that says that somebody could do Kinui without any Eidim. And even according to Amish, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that says he could do Stir without Eidim, it's not as difficult to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar as it is to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, but it's still difficult how to let a husband to do something without any Eidim. Says the Gemara, Amar Abchanina Masura, Lo'ilei me'inish let to say, a man should not say to his wife, as man is there, lo'itisri ba'adi ploini. A man should be very careful not to do stira, not to do kinui. Because dimalai kaimel, not to do kinui, as man is there. Why? Because dimalai kaimel like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, do'am kinui api'atzma, as Rabbi Yosef Yehuda just taught us, kinui can be done by the husband himself, and mistatra. And even if there'll be stira afterwards with Edom, so now she becomes a soita. But Bezman Azeh, says the Gemara, Leko Idna, Mei Soita. We don't have the Mei Soita, the Lamidika, to determine her status. And therefore, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, that once a woman does become a soita, she's also to a husband. And this woman who had the kinui by herself, with the husband himself, and then had stira with 2 Edom, will be us to our husband forever. So the Rishonim point out, what should a husband do if he made kinui by himself and he doesn't want to end up with the issue that the Gemara just raised? So the Rishonim say is that he should be choizer on the kinui. He should officially retract the kinui. And by retracting the kinui, it undoes the kinui. And therefore, even if there will be stira afterwards, the woman will not become a soita.